Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Epiphany is just a fancy word used in the church to mean something that we don't often consider. Epi comes from a Greek word that means upon. Phino is a Greek word that means to shine. And so you put these two things together, and epiphany means to shine upon. It's when light literally strikes into a room, and the room is lit up, and you can see the things that are inside. And so as we apply this to the message of Scripture, we know that epiphany is all about how the light of the world, Jesus Christ, comes into our sin-darkened world to shine his light, to show us who we are as poor, miserable sinners, and to show us who he is as the one who saves poor, miserable sinners. You see, when Jesus comes, we can clearly see what once we could not. And so there are many weeks coming in the season of Epiphany. And as we continue through Epiphany, I want you to consider, what is God trying to reveal to me through Jesus' words and actions? That's the question. What is God trying to reveal? Well, this morning in Matthew chapter 3, we find the baptism of Jesus. And so what does God reveal to us through baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River? Well, as the story unfolds, we see John. John the baptizer, and what is he doing? But he's baptizing people at the Jordan River for repentance. It means that people are coming to him who realize that they have fallen short, that they have not done what they ought to do. They are people who know they are sinners, and they want to do better with their lives. They want to turn away from their sin. They want to struggle against it. They want to live lives that are pleasing to God. And so they're going to the waters of baptism. The problem for John, though, is that as the line comes down and more people start showing up, all of a sudden, Jesus comes to the front of the line. Whoa. John knows full well who Jesus is. Jesus is the very Son of God. Jesus is holy. Jesus is innocent. He is pure. He is blameless. If John is baptizing sinners for repentance, then why would he baptize Jesus, the only one who's ever walked this earth without sin? He doesn't need repentance. Well, even for knowing and believing as well as John did, he still didn't understand the whole plan. He still didn't understand why God had to be baptized. Why? Well, it had not been revealed to him yet. So there's only one option for John. At least that's the way he perceives things. There's only one thing John can do. He sort of lifts up his hand. Stop, Jesus. These waters are not for you. This baptism is not for you. You are God. You are holy. Why would you get into this water with the rest of these sinners? So he doesn't understand. And in fact, it even goes so far as where John says, wait a second, you are the Holy One, and so why don't you actually baptize me? That would be much better, Jesus, right? Well, Jesus, of course, who is God and who does understand and know what has to happen for the salvation of the world, he says to John, let it be so now. Now is a pretty powerful word. It doesn't mean in a few minutes, doesn't mean in a few seconds. It means like, now, let's do it. And so what Jesus is essentially saying is he's saying, John, don't argue with me. This is happening. Okay? No arguments, no more. You know, don't try to banter with me back and forth. This is happening whether you like it or not. And he even gives the reason why. He says, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And there it is. Jesus, he reveals the whole plan to John. Why does Jesus need to get into the water with sinners? So that he can become a sinner. Because Jesus needs to be the one who absorbs all of the sins of the world into himself. That way you might be righteous. That way everyone might be righteous. Remember, Jesus says to fulfill all righteousness. That includes John's righteousness. It's my righteousness. It's your righteousness. So if there is to be any sort of innocence and holiness and blamelessness for humanity whatsoever, Jesus has to be baptized. He has to become the substitute for sinners, which means he has to enter baptism in the River Jordan. But notice, though, how Jesus, who is already righteous in himself, isn't doing this for himself. Baptism is never something that Jesus does for himself. It just isn't. Instead, Jesus is totally selfless in his baptism. He is being baptized for you, for your benefit, that you might be counted amongst the righteous. This little interaction, it tells us two things. Two things we discover between this little conversation with Jesus and John. First is that Jesus always works for your good and never for his own. Second is that even the most learned and well-meaning and well-read and the Christian who knows scriptures better than anyone else, because remember, even Jesus says that John is the greatest of all people born from woman, they don't know better than God. And sometimes they think they do. John thought he knew better than Jesus. And if John can't do it, what about you and me? Can you relate with the story? With John's position here? I mean, the truth is that we think we know better than God. The truth is that we think we know what is best. But we're limited. As much as we know about God and his plans for salvation through Jesus Christ, we still don't know the events that will take place in each and every one of our lives. We can't predict what's going to happen this afternoon, let alone next week. We don't know the fullness of God's plan. You know, God, he sees all the moving pieces from sort of a bird's eye view. He knows how the pieces have to move, and he knows how people need to interact and what sort of relationships we need to have and what sort of vocations we need to fill. And he knows how everything needs to move, and he's always there guiding the plan every step of the way. He knows the plan. But we don't. And so what we do is we perceive that somehow God is going to make our lives all sort of sunshine and daisies. We do. That's what we expect out of this life. We expect everything to be easy and everything to go our way. And so the moment that something goes wrong, what is the first thing we do? God, you screwed up the plan. You messed it all up. And what we do is that, you know, maybe, you know, if our faith allows us, we'll even get on our knees and we'll pray. But so often we use prayer as if it's some sort of magic incantation where if I pray hard enough, then God's will somehow bend to align with mine. That's not the prayer of a Christian. That's not the prayer of faithful. Christians pray in trust, praying that our will might bend to what God's will is. We pray to God knowing that he answers prayer, knowing that he desires to hear for us, and we pray knowing that he is already giving us the best. He is already giving us everything that is good for us. Now, the truth is, when you're going through a hard time, that's a very hard word to hear. You know, if you get a certain diagnosis or if someone you love is called away or called home to heaven, you know, it is very hard for us to say, God, how is this for our good? Because we don't understand the whole plan. We don't see the moving pieces, but God does. And he has promised he is working everything out for your good and for my good and for the good of the whole world. And so in the midst of us trying to, you know, control God or trying to tell God that we know better, Jesus has a very specific word for us. Don't argue with me. This needs to happen now. And he even gives us a reason. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, Jesus' words to John, they're Jesus' words for you. And they remind you that Jesus is constantly working for your good, even when you don't understand. In fact, especially when you don't understand. He is constantly there to serve you. And the better part is what John does next. You see, John hears these words of Jesus, and he hears this plan. Look, Jesus says, John, I'm doing this for your good. And so John, he believes those words. And so what he does is, the text tells us, he consented. He consented. That is, he let it go. Right? He gave up. He no longer got in the way of what God's plan was. And then God did what God always does. He works out salvation. He climbs into the River Jordan with all the other sinners, and Jesus is baptized. And what happens is even greater, because it shows the great gift we have in baptism. The heavens are open, the Holy Spirit descends, and God speaks. And so what should we do in the midst of our own sin? When we think we know better than God, well, we come to the church first and foremost, or we open Scripture, and we hear about this plan of salvation, and we hear about these promises, and we hear about how God is always working for our good no matter what. And we should take John's consent and follow suit. We should give up. We should let it go. We should let God do what God does best. Work out your salvation. Still work for your good. Because he's promised he will. You see, this is what it means for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. It means that the truth is that we don't have to bend God's will to our own, because God knows what is best for us. That's why he was baptized. That's why he lived a perfect life. That's why he shed his blood on the cross. It was to win righteousness for you. That's why he opened the heavens. That's why he sends you the Holy Spirit. That's why God calls you his child. It's so that you can be counted amongst the righteous. So that God can call you his child. You see, when we finally sort of take a good look inward on ourselves and we admit to ourselves that, look, I don't know best. God is clearly better than I am. He clearly knows more than I do. And when we sort of step out of our own way, God works for us. Maybe not the ways that we would work ourselves, but in ways that are better than we could ever imagine. For instance, in the Catechism, we confess that we cannot believe by our own reason or strength. So you try to take the gospel on your own, and you will always fail. But Jesus says you don't have to. He's literally sending it to you, giving it to you. And so you don't have to try and take it for yourself. You know, in Matthew, we hear that we cannot add a single hour to our life. Well, we don't have to. Because God knows the perfect amount of time for us to be on this earth, and he allows us to be here for that amount of time. We cannot raise the dead. We cannot cure diseases. But the truth is that we don't have to, because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit give us greater gifts than these. He gives us eternal life through his Son. Not temporary earthly blessings, but blessings that will last forever. Because that's what fulfilling all righteousness looks like. You receiving the gifts of God. And so that means that every time you've tried to prevent God from being God, your sins are forgiven. Every time you became your own God or thought that somehow God messed up the plan, you are forgiven. Every time you trusted in your will or trusted in the power of prayer rather than the one who listens to prayer, your sins are forgiven. Because that's what righteousness is all about. John gives up on himself. And he trusts the word and will of Jesus. Give up on yourself. Give up on yourself this morning. Give up on yourself tomorrow. Give up on yourself every day and simply trust the word of God. Because it will tell you this. Jesus Christ has been crucified for you. Jesus Christ has been risen for you. He has given you himself in baptism. The heavens are open to you. You have received the Holy Spirit, and you are God's child. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your righteousness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.